And let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline, by the way, and bring on Ira Winderman, who's always powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733.
Ira, good morning. How you doing?
I am doing good and trying to figure if this is the end of another LeBron James era.
Well, I'll tell you what. How you reading into that one? I thought there was going to be a split. I thought it was going to be 1-1 going back to Cleveland. Celtics, boy, they took that 6-point game and just dominated late in that game. What do you think? What's going to happen now?
I think the depth of talent is apparent. I think LeBron James has never felt as naked until the last time he left Cleveland to come to Miami. And when I look at the options who could step up and help him, it's not like Kevin Love didn't play well yesterday. It's not like Kyle Korver didn't hit a few shots. It's that Boston keeps coming in waves. It's like they take turns almost. Like, okay, Tatum's going to do this quarter. Rozier will do this quarter. Al Horford will be the finisher. And it always has to be LeBron for Cleveland right now. You know, he can rail at Dan Gilbert. He can rail at Kobe Altman. He does not have the support of a player of his caliber. And I think, honestly, fans in Cleveland this time, instead of burning his jersey, would be accepting of, hey, you need more, and we understand it.
Yeah, but where is he going to – what could he do at this point? You see him going to Philadelphia? You see him just leaving Cleveland again and going to one of these other teams, like especially in the East?
Yeah, I think his work is done there. His work was to create an NBA Finals team. His work was to bring a championship back to the land. He's done all that. And I said this yesterday when I was on with Hochman. I think he's at a point he doesn't have to be the alpha male. He's been the alpha male now for 16 years, 15 years. And if he has to step back and bring someone else along and play alongside a James Harden or a Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons or maybe alongside a Paul George in Los Angeles, I think that's eminently possible. Here's the fascinating thing to me, and I never thought I'd say this. Those other teams, is he in their best interest? In other words, if he goes to Philadelphia, is it in the best interest to take the ball out of the hands of Ben Simmons? If he tries to go to Houston and Chris Paul takes less money this year, is it the best way to take the ball out of James Harden? And even if he goes to Los Angeles and they get Paul George there, is taking the ball out of Lonzo Ball's hands and to a degree Paul George again in the best interest? It's a fascinating case study, and I know you never want to use the phrase he left everything out there, but after last night's game, how much can this guy keep giving at that level? I think he'd like to be alongside someone and maybe not have to be the alpha male and have to get 50 points for his team to win, let alone 40.
You know, Ira, I always hear, and LeBron says, oh, I want more help, and I want to play off the ball more. He doesn't seem like it. The guy I've known forever, LeBron James, has always been the guy who wants the ball all the time. He likes having the ball and controlling everything. I don't know if he's ready to do that.
And, Joe, and you saw it yesterday in the first quarter, yeah, he liked the ball a lot and he was dominant. A little bit in the second quarter. But having to do all of that early, and none of these stars really do that. When you watch these guys build their great games, they usually start slow, they seize the moment, and they're the fourth quarter finisher. The fourth quarter finisher in yesterday's game was Al Horford. It wasn't LeBron James. At 33 years old, having played 82 games this season, when they needed more from LeBron, he was like, you got to be kidding me. I already went to the locker room once with that blow to my head, hurt my neck, had to come back. Who else is out there? JR, are you out there? No. You're acting like a knucklehead. What happened to Kyle Korver with those early shots? What happened to Jordan Clarkson and Rodney Hood and Larry Nance Jr. and the other guys they got? And you start asking yourself the question of, is there anyone else alongside? And, Joe, I don't know how Cleveland finds anything. They have the number 8 draft pick. And what real assets do they have to make a move?
There's not much that you could do there at all. But I want to stay in the Eastern Conference Finals and talk about the Celtics. Are they putting the rest of the league on notice? Look at our team right now, and our two best players aren't even playing.
And that's the thing, Zach. So let's say LeBron does stay in Cleveland and says, you know what, Kevin Love has had 2, 3, 4 good games now. We'll make that work a little bit more. You're adding Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving into that mix. And so when you look at the situation right there, it's funny. I think, you know, Danny Ainge almost has too much of a wealth of riches. And what do you do? Do you take the ball out of the hands next season of a Tatum? Or Jaylen Brown's been terrific in this series and had his own dominant moments for Hayward and Kyrie Irving. Like everyone said, it's a problem you would be glad to have. And now there was thought that Marcus Smart had to be let go because of salary and all that. But he's such a contributor with his grit and toughness. you know, that he's adding to the mix, that they have so much that you're exactly right. If I'm the Cavs or even the Sixers or any other team, how do you beat that Colossus? I'm going to go as far as saying this. If they can integrate the other guys in there, Hayward and Kyrie Irving, you know what? We might finally have our match a year from now from the Golden State Warriors. That if you line up Kevin Durant and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, you say, no, you can't top that. You know what? If I go in with Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown, plus possibly more depth than the Warriors,
it's true.
That might be the finals we're waiting for a year from now.
Well, let me ask you about the make-believe trade. How about Leonard, San Antonio? They're going to try to trade him and get something. Sure. They don't want to lose him for like Horford and Tatum.
You know, I don't give up Al Horford because, to me, he's the glue of that team and the veteran guy who's been there. I don't make that trade. I think Jason Tatum could be Kawhi Leonard. The one thing Danny Ainge never does is he never overreaches on his trades. He's always the one who gets a draft pick and a plus one. He's been robbing the league and pillaging now for like 5, 6, 7 years for this moment. I don't think he ever sends out more. I think he sits out at the negotiating table and says, no, we can't do that, but we can do this. To me, I would almost wonder if a guy like Hayward is not expendable now, which is awful and something they would never do. But you look at the situation and you say, what does Gordon Hayward do? He hits shots. He's never necessarily been the difference maker. I would want to keep Kyrie just because I think in the moment of a close game, I still don't know which Celtic player I go to. I think they're all equally good. I think you need that one alpha in those moments against the Warriors, just like Golden State right now is going to Kevin Durant. But I don't think they're in such a rush to get Kawhi Leonard. Why get a guy who has a degenerative hip, you don't know where he's going to be, who has 1 year left on his contract, and if he wants to be the alpha male, I don't know if anyone is going to be the alpha male right now in Boston. That's what I'm curious about.
Yeah.
This is not what Kyrie Irving signed up for. Kyrie Irving signed up to get out of everyone's shadow. Could you be more in a shadow than if Boston goes to the finals with these guys? You can't walk into camp like Kyrie next year and go, okay, I'm the guy, let's get started. They're like, Kyrie, we already got started. This is a work already in progress.
Good problem to have if you're Danny Ainge going into next season, having too many good players on your team and not knowing what to do with them. And speaking about that, last night in the lottery, anything happened last night Heat-related or anything? Because I know they had nothing to do with it.
No, just tell them it was just a bad show to watch.
Outside of it being just a bad broadcast.
Yeah, again,
nothing,
again,
right?
Another one of those, let's go an hour for 4 minutes of action.
And
I know they want to stretch it out and show their personalities, but there was great playoffs to follow. They didn't have to go in that direction. What I'll say is it was good for the Heat in this respect. No Eastern Conference team made a super leap. Boston or Philly didn't get one of the top three picks like they could have. Detroit didn't move into the top three, and they already have Blake Griffin, Drummond, and Reggie Jackson. So there's no East team positioned, even Atlanta at number three, where you say, okay, one more player, and they become a contender. So no one in the East moved up. You know, when you look at it, is there a pick that the Heat could trade for? I think Cleveland could be the swing team right now if LeBron stays. They don't need a number 8 pick. They need another player. That might be available. Maybe the Knicks pick at number 9 if David Fizdale comes in and wants to win and make a move. But I think for the Heat, at least there was a status quo in the East, and that's all they could ask for. Because, guys, we've seen how far they've fallen behind Philly. We know how far they're going to fall behind Boston. If LeBron stays, they're not getting over that hill. So I think the Heat's challenge is daunting enough, let alone if a team moved up in the lottery. So of all the bad nights in the offseason for the Heat, that was one of the lesser ones.
All right, let's get back to this original. So you kind of, by the way you talk, you think this Cavs-Celtics series is over. I think it's got a long way to go. I expect, actually, the Cavs will win the next two games. Do you agree?
I would have agreed until I saw how that game turned. So let's look at it this way. Game 1, Boston jumps on their throat and there's no chance. Game 2, LeBron does every single thing you would want LeBron James to do. Cleveland builds a lead. They're in a position where you think they could blow him away, but they can't. And that's the thing. Boston's going to keep coming at you with waves. Now, granted, in the playoffs, they have not been the same team on the road, so that is a little bit different. That offers hope to Philadelphia with that one win. Milwaukee got their three victories. So you're right, I want to see them on the road. But this three-day layoff, this cockamamie NBA scheduling, if ever a team needed to get back on the court, it's the Cavaliers. This is not the Heat Big Three where you could say, hey, they've been there and seen it. They can deal with the three-day break. This is guys other than LeBron James who were mentally fragile. And for those guys to have a three-day layoff and not going what direction they're going, not knowing what direction they're going, including Ty Lue, I think this is really going to get in their heads. I think the Celtics could possibly stomp on them early in game three and absolutely break their spirit. The one thing we've all been wrong about is this. This Boston team without Kyrie and without Hayward is still a really, really good team.
I think J.R. Smith needs a couple days off. I think that you can't take that for granted. He played 27 minutes. He had 0 points.
And I'll tell you one thing, and that's going to be upgraded to a flagrant too, because what he did to Al Horford is unacceptable and unconscionable, and I was shocked he stayed in the game, which there was no reason for anyway. But when you push a defenseless player in the air in that situation, to me that's the textbook flagrant two foul, and I would expect sometime later today, tomorrow, or in the interim for the NBA to announce that also. And that's that kind of play that doesn't win any fans even on your team. Because when you lose respect for the game, this is like the Pistons walking off the court when Michael Jordan won his championships and the Bulls move forward. This is like the kind of players who don't stay to shake hands at the end of a series. Cleveland's already showing the cracks, Joe, and that's why I'm really starting to wonder.
If that gets upgraded to a flagrant two, is he going to get suspended?
No, he just two more flagrant points in the postseason, but then you get another flagrant two and you reach that point total and you're out. Although, if J.R. Smith is out, that might be a bonus to Cleveland.
Yeah, I think Cleveland would be happy with that.
Yeah.
I think Cleveland would be happy with that.
Ira.
All right, Ira Winderman from the South Florida Sun Sentinel, always powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733.
Ira, thank you, man. Take care.
And let it stop raining, please. Need to hit the fuzzy balls again. Thank you, guys.